today. Hopefully, we're going to have Barry Shamish with us. And as you know, Jerry is a Jewish patriot who's been working for many years to try to awaken the people of his country to the fact that the people in charge are tied into the Council on Foreign Relations of the globalists, and that whether the right or the left, the conservative or liberal in power, it's always the same. They're selling out Israel, and there's an organized effort to betray the Jewish people. And Chris, as you see what they're doing, I mean, here, for instance, Olmert recently released 250 terrorists, 250 killers, many of these have committed violent and terrible crimes, and they're released, and he doesn't get anything in return. He doesn't even try to get the Jewish soldiers who've been taken prisoner and being held captive by the Palestinians. Why would he do that?
Okay.
I mean, that a few years ago, he gave away, I think, was his predecessor, gave away over 400 Palestinian terrorists, gave them back without anything at all in return. Well, they did get the bodies of three dead Jewish soldiers. That's all they got. Does this really make sense that the Jews are actually giving rifles and money to Fatah? That, of course, is supposedly going to fight Hamas, but in the long run, is going to use the weapons and everything else to try to defeat Israel. So much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand that there are other spiritual forces at work, and there really are traitors working in the Israeli government, just as there are traitors working in the American government today who are providing both funding and technology for both the Chinese communists and for the Russians, and yes, for the Pakistanians, who are funding the schools that are teaching radical Islam all throughout Pakistan. Why would we be funding a government that's funding, the 10, 20, 30,000 madras schools that are teaching radical Islam? Doesn't make sense. Well, you go ahead, Barry. It's good to have you with us. Barry, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead and tell us what's going on today.
Well, this was a very busy week. I mean, every week is busy, but you just called me, let's say, 2 hours ago, so I had to get my little notepad together, and lo and behold, the page is just filled with this week's atrocities, and I guess we'll start with a very interesting fact. I was on the Tamar Yonah show. I was finally back on an Israeli radio show this week, and we were talking about Shimon Peres, and I told her that he's a spy for the Vatican, and that he's doing everything in his power to make sure the Vatican gets Jerusalem and maybe all of Israel. And I got a phone call today from Ontario. My Christian friend, who believes everything is happening according to prophecy, something which I'll dispute. I think it's got a life of its own, what's happening in Israel, and it isn't parallel with 2,000, 3,000 years ago. Nonetheless, she views it as a parallel with 2,000, 3,000 years ago. And lo and behold, Mar Reeve reported today that Shimon Peres, as president of Israel, will be going to Rome to meet the Pope. In his very first trip as president, he will be meeting the Pope, Benedict XVI. Now, I naturally wrote Tamar a letter saying, you have to put me on your show if my predictions are this good.
And back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Barry Shamish, and we're talking about the fact that Shimon Peres is going to take a trip to the Vatican. Any idea why he's going over there, other than he just likes to pay a visit to see the Pope?
Well, to get his marching orders, and that's clear cut. That's what he got when he was elected second in the Kadima. And during the last national elections, 6 days after the elections were finished, he took his first foreign trip to see the Pope, and he received his marching orders. But Mariv says something quite important. Lo and behold, And the same day that Peres is flying to Rome to meet the Pope, while Mubarak and the guy's name is Masser, he is the head of the Arab League, are also going to be in Rome, and there's going to be a conference. What a coincidence. Now, remember, Peres has no power, supposedly. He's the president of Israel, a purely ceremonial and symbolic position. So who's inviting him to attend a conference with the president of the Arab League and Mubarak? And I assume the Pope or his representatives will also be in this Rome conference. Look, it's all coming true right now when it comes to Israel. I've been saying this for years, that Peres has been working for the Vatican, and that Peres hates the Jews. He despises he likes Israelis, provided they're Sabbatean, but he hates Jews if they believe in the Torah. And he is going to attend their conference, sponsored by the Pope, it looks like. And by the way, this just came out today. I don't have the full details, but these are bad enough. What came out yesterday is pretty awful, too, because Spain is all involved in this awful deal to get rid of Israel. And as you know, King Juan Carlos of Spain believes that he is the guardian of the holy sites of Jerusalem, a position handed down since the Crusades. Well, the Spanish foreign minister delivered a positive message to Olmert yesterday from the Syrians. And the positive message, we don't know what it was, but I'm guessing it was, if you give us back the Golan Heights, well, we're not going to flatten Tel Aviv with missiles. I guess that must have been the positive message. And this, by the way, is all happening within 2 days. So you know that the Vatican is serious now, and you know they're using the Spanish, and you know Olmert's under tremendous pressure. And if Peres goes to Rome to meet the Pope, it had better be with the permission of the Knesset. At least that's what a president is supposed to do. He's supposed to take his orders from the Knesset. But somehow I get the feeling that it is Peres who's telling the Knesset what he will do and not the other way around.
Well, you know, the world is run by far different forces than the average person would ever suspect. That was what this was said in Coningsby, and a book was actually written by an Israeli back in the 1850. Yes, my dear Coningsby, the world is ruled by far different people than those who are not privy would ever understand. And certainly, the Vatican is a major player in everything going on, as is the black nobility of Europe, and certainly that would be Carlos and the Queen of England, and certainly the royalty in the Netherlands. And there's royalty in all these houses there, and we may not hear about them, but they are a tremendous political force in the world, as is the Vatican. In fact, for those people who'd like to check it out, there's a wonderful book written by Malachi Martin called The Keys of This Blood that talks about Vatican intelligence, one of the finest intelligence agencies in the world, with representatives in every country in the world spying and actually directing things behind the scenes. And it's brought up very, very clearly, and yet most people think of the Vatican simply as a figurehead, with a few Swiss guards there guarding the Pope, but having no power at all. And I think they're mistaken, don't you?
Oh, are they ever. Look, the Vatican itself is a very wealthy place, and there's a billion Catholics, they say. So anyone who talks about the Vatican being purely symbolic doesn't seem to understand raw statistics. But as for royalty, now if you look at the Illuminati, and that is the Vatican, by the way, that is in fact Loyola, and it's the Jesuits, and it's a whole big mess. But nonetheless, they wiped out the royal families of most of Europe in the revolution, starting about 1786 to 87, including your own revolution, which of course was not royalty, but nonetheless, they did a real number on Europe's royal families. The British family does exist, and it looks like Charles is really contemplating becoming a Catholic. That's in a lot of newspapers, including The Guardian lately. So, again, it's a very complicated situation. But as for the Vatican and Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, I've been documenting that for a long, long time, and I'm not mistaken about that. He is their agent and spy in Israel. Now, I want you to know that there is finally, and this isn't great, we'll get back to the bad guys in Israel, but there is finally some resistance that is going to build, I believe. You've got a lot of people now from the territories and their supporters fighting back. Now, I don't know how well they're fighting back. I know 100 people are sleeping in Chomish. That was one of the four Samaria towns the government and its army evacuated in the summer of the year 2005. And you've got people marching up and down the territories reclaiming their lands right now. And you've got the police who are acting like animals. But they're getting sued and they're starting to lose. Something very strange has happened this week. Now, tomorrow is the big day. Watch out for news, because 3,000 IDF soldiers are being shipped to Hebron to remove two families who are illegally settling the Hebron market. I mean, this place and their little homes have been Jewish since 1850. The Hebron market doesn't exist, and yet 3,000 soldiers are going to be used to expel two families, and tomorrow is the day that it happens. Now, there's a couple of good things that did happen. 30 soldiers refused outright to obey orders and expel these families. That happened today. And by the way, it's on the Jerusalem Post site. You can read all about this. The army is going to give them a month in jail, and they're going to pay for not obeying orders. I wish every soldier was as brave as these 30 soldiers. I wish the Israeli army would, in fact, enter a mutiny where they will no longer take immoral orders. This is something I've been hoping for and not getting my wish for the longest time. But we had 30 soldiers refuse to expel these families today. And this is an extremely positive sign. It's the first one from the army since the expulsion from Gush Katif where soldiers are finally rebelling. And what can you say? For those of you who pray for the soldiers. Pray for everyone who's fighting the Israel Defense Forces and pray they defeat them. Because what you've got now is a banana republic army run by the Mafia Hoods who control Israel. Our only hope is that that army rebels.
Well, you have a situation where you basically have leaders of the country, I'm told, loyal to the country, are using the military and the police, of course, to subjugate the people and betray the people. And certainly we see the same basic things happening here in America, where we have a small group who controls both political parties and the wealth of our nation that's using our military and our police against the American people.
I don't think people understand how bad it is. I sent you today an email, and I'm going to give out a website that isn't mine. There's a TV station in Israel, finally. It's called an IITV.com. It's short for Israel Independent TV.com. Go and watch the news today, and you will see our soldiers just beating the crap out of Jews. I mean, they're doing it with horses, they're doing it with clubs. These are the fascist soldiers of Israel. IITV.com. Go and look at them on the main news headline, how awful this army has become. Now remember, I was a soldier in this army, reserve and regular, for 13 years, and very proud of it. And honest to goodness, when I say this, it's the truth. I would never, ever have removed a Jew from his home as a soldier of the Israel Defense Forces. Never. My duty was to defend Jews in Israel. It was not to disrupt Jews and wreck their lives. So just so you know, 30 soldiers now are going to go to jail for refusing to obey orders to expel two families to the Hebron starting tomorrow. And that, by the way, is bigger news than you will hear on NBC or CNN, because they're not going to cover this.
Well, that was just how the Russian Revolution started, you know, back in 1917, when soldiers there, the Russian soldiers, were ordered to fire on the Russian peasants, and they refused it. And so they were, you know, arrested. They sent another unit over to arrest them, and that unit went over to the mutineers. And pretty soon, the whole of the military and their officers, many of them, just refused to carry out orders. And that was the beginning of the end, of course, of the Russian government. And this is what the people in the CFR and the French fear. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and that's really very unusual. That certainly there have always been a few soldiers, Israeli soldiers, who is a matter of conscience, perhaps would not actually carry out their orders as far as fighting the Palestinians, because they felt that there was injustice there. But for 30 soldiers at one time, just to say, we're not going to do it, we're not going to attack our own people, our own Israeli people, no matter what you people in power are saying. Obviously, Barry, your message is getting through, and some Israelis are beginning to understand they're being betrayed by their leaders.
You know, there's something else that happened this week, which most people, I guess, would have ignored. And I got it from the Israel National News, newsletter, whatever they send me every day. They give you a slightly different perspective, and I use them a lot. But here is the news item. A group of Tel Avivans, and that's important, they're from Tel Aviv, not from the settlements and not religious. There were a group of people who got sick of the Palestinians, went to the Gaza border with a homemade rocket launcher, and they launched garbage into Gaza. They launched rotten eggs and rotten vegetables, and they launched... No one got killed. The Gazans got sprayed with garbage. Now, they explained afterwards, the army came in and, of course, stopped them. There's a limit to how much you can throw by way of a rocket launcher anything at the Gaza. I mean, not everyone's allowed to do that. But nonetheless, they said we're sick of their rockets, were sick of them destroying Sderot, destroying our way of life, and they're going to get garbage pelted at them. Now, if you don't get the Israel National News, you never heard of this story, but it's extremely significant again in that Israelis, or many Israelis, not all Israelis, most Israelis, unfortunately, are apathetic or cowardly. But you've got enough of them that they're actually taking action now. They're refusing to obey orders. They're throwing garbage into Gaza. You've got, finally, people sick to death of their government. Now, look, the government is being held together by only one thing right now, the army. If that army rebels, we can bring down the government. And I've been promoting this in my own little way. I mean, I'm just an ant. I'm not going to exaggerate the power I have, but I do influence some people. And I've been saying over and over again, there's only one way that we can get out of this mess. We have to bring down the government. We have to put Peres on trial for such a variety of crimes, including the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, Sharon Zaevi, ringworm children experiments on over 100,000 Sephardi children. Put him on trial for everything. I mean, this man's a monster. Put Barak on trial for sending Jewish soldiers to their deaths deliberately in the 1982 war in a place called Sultan Yaakov. Olmert has got enough dirty financial crimes against him to put him on trial all over the place. You have to bring down this government. You have to bring down the mafia. Now, I'm going to add one more person in the mafia. And this, to me is just shocking. Chaim Ramon, who, again, your leaders may not... You know what? Go to my website and go into a section called Media. There's lots of archives. Look them up. We can't do it on the show. My website, just go to BarryChamish.com. BarryChamish.com. Look up Chaim Ramon. Now, I'm going to tell you the main story was that 2 months ago, he was charged and convicted of French kissing an 18-year-old soldier. The man is about 60. Now, against her will, naturally, and she was female, of course. Nonetheless, who does he think he is? Does he think he's attractive at age 60 to an 18-year-old? And by the way, he was about 3 months off pedophilia charges. Now, you would think that would be the end of his career, but like in America, where a Clinton can stick anything he wants wherever he wants, apparently, and no one will impeach him, we have got him not just in the Knesset. He's the deputy prime minister. He is one step away from being two steps. First, Olmert has to be removed. Then Tzipi Livni, as vice prime minister, becomes prime minister. If anything happens to these two, this neo-pedophile is going to be the prime minister of Israel.
Well, you know, I think that we have moral degeneracy and positions of power, not only in Israel, but all throughout our nation today. And I think that we would find these people, these same people, in positions of power right here in the United States. If we had a free press, we'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Barry Shamish, and we're talking about the moral degeneracy at the highest levels of the Israeli government. But I would simply point out that there was a man in the Defense Department, and you could not get a job in the Defense Department, or you could not get promoted to a high level in the military. And this man was an openly known homosexual who was put there by Donald Rumsfeld. And you have to ask yourself why. And if anybody wants to verify the story, they can call me off the air. I was told this by a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. And I'm sure I get to his name. Why would we have moral degeneracy at the highest level of the American military? And we know that there's a well-known homosexual, in Washington, D.C., who frequently spends his night at the White House. And yet, of course, nobody ever asks who he's spending the night with. Go right ahead and pick up the story there.
I don't know what to say with that. I mean, I could go back to S.S. Ketzhauser, I believe was his name, and the communists who were in the Defense Department under FDR and all that kind of stuff. But I think I'll stick with Israel. Look, another demonstration happened in Israel this week. That's what I'm saying. This week, suddenly, the Israeli people are demonstrating against their government. And it's not because of sponsored demonstrations. It's because of the people actually demonstrating. Now, another demonstration was 3,000 Holocaust survivors demonstrated against the Knesset because Ehud Olmert upped their annual pension by 130 million shekels, which works out to less than $20 a survivor. That's for the entire next year, by the way. He had the nerve to give these people $20 each, more than they got last year. Needless to say, $20 doesn't go very far in Israel. Now, what makes this, again, remarkable is that Olmert is saying, my parents ran from the Holocaust. You can't say anything bad against me. I mean, it's absurd. He's giving them $20 each, and you can't say anything bad against him. Now, here's what the real crime is. The crime is the Council on Foreign Relations, Edgar Bronfman, about 5 years ago, won a suit against the Swiss banking system, and he won $6.5 billion. Now, that $6.5 billion, evenly distributed amongst the world's Holocaust survivors would not be $20 each, and it would be their money. But he's got it in his own back pocket. Okay, now, I have read the very few times where someone has said to Brofman, where's the $6.5 billion? And he says, well, it's all the Swiss system. They're not giving out their names, and we don't know who to give it to. Meanwhile, as far as anyone knows, $6.5 billion was given to the Brofman family. But in Israel, the Holocaust survivors get $20 each for all next year. That's how much they're worth. Look, I'm not going to go through the intense connection between the labor Zionists and the Nazis and what the transfer agreement was. I'm not going to go through the Hungarian Jews and who Kastner was, but they don't respect Holocaust victims. They don't respect the survivors. They don't respect the dead. There's a problem in Israel. They no longer respect the people that died to make that country. And they didn't want to die to make that country. Now, I'm going to go to the CFR in a big way now. The JNF, the Jewish National Fund, is the real estate company that renews Jewish land. Now, practically every Jewish home when I was growing up had a blue box with a map of Israel on it where you would put your spare pennies. And then these pennies would be returned to the Jewish National Fund to redeem the land of Israel for the Jewish people. It was an institution. Now, suddenly the JNF want to give out the land to the Arabs. Now, I did a little research, and I can't mention Israel, but it doesn't matter. It turns out the research goes right back to the United States. And once again, it's Shimon Peres. He's got his fingers in everything. I'm not trying to find Peres. He's there. Shimon Peres is good friends from New Jersey. The Tisch and Zuckerman families are running a massive campaign to spread the largesse of the JNF to the Arabs as well. Now, by the way, they're both members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Tisch family, Mort Zuckerman, CFR. And by the way, go on to Google, write in CFR list, look up Zuckerman and Tisch, and you will find them both. But what's really shocking is that the head of the Jewish National Fund, Ronald Lauder, he was Ehud Olmert's first backer, is also Council on Foreign Relations. They're trying to give up Israel physically, give up the real state of Israel and hand it over to the Arabs. Now, all those people with those little blue boxes are all getting cheated and gypped, every single one of them, through Peres and the CFR. Now, anyone who thinks that Peres, age 85, is just a symbol doesn't understand how active this man is. He is everywhere destroying Israel, and it's on purpose. He despises what Israel has become. I'm not even sure he likes Sabbatean Jews, if you want to get down to it. He may hate his own people, but he sure hates the Jewish people, the people who believe in the Torah, the people who study the Talmud. He hates their guts, and he's giving away Jewish real estate bought for and paid for by the Jewish people. He's handing it out to the Arabs right now. And this is extremely serious business.
Well,
are you following me?
I am. I'm enjoying what you have to say, Chris. The question is, why do the Jewish people vote for him then? I said he...
Who voted for him? The Knesset voted for him.
Okay. So why did the Knesset vote for him?
Don't because they'll kill anyone who doesn't. The man is mad. He runs a killing squad. As I said, he murdered Rabin. And by the way, I don't say that lightly. Oh, okay, folks, I have books. If you want to know how he murdered Sharon, buy my book, Bye Bye Gaza, at lulu.com, lulu.com. You'll see a space that says search, write CHAMISH. For a crummy $10, you can download it on your computer. For $20, you can get it sent to your home, and it's a very nice book. Find out how he did it. it's a whole show in itself explaining. Well, first he drinks tea with Paris, then he's taken by Paris to Hadassah Hospital by Yoram Reuven, the man who pulled the trigger on Yitzhak Rabin. It's the same hit squad. Paris runs a mafia hit squad, and people are terrified of him. And as for Kadima, where he apparently was elected, nobody votes for Paris. You vote for a party. Supposedly, you were voting for Sharon, who was laying dying in the hospital. It was a sympathy vote. But the fact remains that he's still in power because he murders. Okay? Straightforward. I gave you the answer. Because he murders.
All right, fine. And so you're suggesting there are a lot of people there in the Knesset who are afraid to oppose him.
I can give you names. I can give you names of Knesset members who have been threatened by him and almost died, but I'll give you the ones who did die. Rechavam Ze'evi was about to leave the Knesset. He gave Sharon, he was a tourism minister, he gave Sharon an ultimatum. You either get rid of Sharon within 2 days, he told him, you throw him out of the government, or I'm quitting, and I'm not quitting alone, I'm taking the party of Benny Alon, and I'm taking the party of Avigdor Lieberman, and we're walking out. 4 hours before he gave the final speech in the Knesset, parts of which, by the way, appeared the night before on Arush Sheva's website, where he lays into Paris for the traitor he is. He gets, he's supposed to do a telephone interview. He goes up to his room at the Jerusalem Hyatt, where there's no bodyguard, even though the whole floor is filled with the top echelons of the Israeli security establishment, and he is shot dead. Now, he is shot dead by the PFLP, the Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Believe me, I could do a whole show on the suspicions that they're working for the Mossad. But nonetheless, the so-called killers were taken to Jericho Prison, where they were guarded by American and British wardens. And they were kept there so they don't talk. They were under 24-hour a day guarding by Americans and British. And then Arafat died, and they started opening their mouths about what really happened. If you remember, it was two summers ago, Israel attacked Jericho. One of the only times the Israeli army actually took action against the PLO in the last 10 years, they took the prison because these prisoners were opening their mouths and saying that we got orders and they did not come from an Arab source, and that ultimately was Shimon Peres. Whether they knew it or not, they knew the whole operation stunk. Well, the Israelis took them away, and you're never going to hear from them ever, ever again. And it gets worse, by the way. Israel released 178 PLO soldiers 2 weeks ago. If they gave up their guns, these were the very same soldiers who supposedly killed Rechavam Ze'evi. They're now free. They just know too much, and Israel didn't want them talking too much, and they gave them their freedom. It is so ugly what is happening in Israel. Now, let me get something straight. The Arabs are no better. I mean, the Arabs know precisely the secrets the Israelis know. And Hamas captured much, much secret intelligence in Gaza, and they're blackmailing everybody in sight. The whole area is a cesspool. It's a cesspool, and unfortunately, Israel is going to drown in that cesspool.
Well, I'm sure you're right, but I think that, of course, if Israel goes down, America's going to have some real problems, too, because the fates of our countries are intertwined, and there's no way to separate them.
How is Israel's fate intertwined? You'll go on being America. You'll forget about Israel in 2 days. How is it intertwined?
Well, very, very simply, because the same evil people control your country that control our country, and I really believe that they're going to use Israel as a justification for drawing us into an ever larger war over there, which will have probably end up largely destroying Israel, but will have a profound impact on destroying any residual freedom we have in this country. The same people control both countries.
Well, I would say you're intertwined because apparently they both want to bring down Israel and they want to bring down America.
Right.
I say you're intertwined that way.
Okay, well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
No problem with that.
All right, fine. Go right ahead, Barry.
Look, I don't have a major message here. I'm just reporting the news here. But the fact is that the CFR are destroying Israel every which way they can. And the newest way is through the Jewish National Fund or the real estate that Israelis for the past 100 years have used to buy back land and put it in Jewish hands. The very Jews of America who have contributed untold, probably millions, probably billions, are being swindled. And they're being swindled by the Tish, Zuckerman, Lauder, and Perez crime syndicate. And there's just no one who can fight them. They're too big.
Now, is this anyway related to the, is it Zuckerman who is associated with U.S. News World Report?
Yeah, he's the editor and publisher.
Okay, fine.
You bet he's associated with them. He makes like he's the big right-wing pro-Israel defender. Believe me, it's all just window dressing. It's the same thing with Ronald Lauder. He claimed that he was on the conservative side and backed Olmert. It's all window dressing. People don't understand. They pretend they're right. They pretend they're left. They're all CFR, and they all believe the same thing. And as for these neocons, believe me, these Jews and the neocons have no love for Israel whatsoever. And they, by the way, I'm very worried that they played a mighty, mighty important role in getting you all trapped in Iraq as well.
Oh, I'm sure there's no question at all. I think this whole thing was staged, you know, getting us into Afghanistan, Iraq, and I think it's really sort of a prerequisite to getting us involved with a war with the entire Islamic world. In fact, I was almost thinking of you this weekend as I attended a meeting, a very conservative meeting, several hundred conservatives there. One of the leading Christian conservatives got up talking about Rupert Murdoch and saying, well, at least, you know, if he takes over the Wall Street Journal, he may be able to rescue it because he's a real honest-to-goodness conservative.
He's a real honest-to-goodness Sabbatean. His mother is Jewish. He hides it. He is the classic Sabbatean.
I sat in my chair and I thought of you when I thought, should I jump to my feet and say, do you realize what you're saying? I had to bite my tongue, you know, just to be quiet.
Well, why don't they invite me to that meeting, and I'll set a few people straight with the facts.
They won't even invite me to come and give a talk, but I have never been known to be one who sat there quietly anyway. And we did have a few impassionate remarks. So, you know, we each do our own job the way best we can, but you're doing a great job of getting the information out. And certainly our guest today has been Barry Shamish. Barry, I want you to get your website out once again so people know how they can get your material and get your books.
Well, you can get to it just by writing barryshamish.com. The books, we're going to talk about another book. I've sent you a CD, a DVD you should get tomorrow. And you go to lulu.com. The book I'm speaking of is Return of the Giants. It's in color or black and white. And Bye Bye Gaz is the latest. But again, there's 9 books there. And if you want to really, really dive into depth about what I'm talking about, with all the sources listed and so forth, you go to lulu.com, type in my name, and you'll see the books.
Yeah. All right, fine. Now, what's the DVD? Is this your talk you gave recently? Is that,
oh, it's no talk. It's me on Fox TV. It's me on 4 episodes of Sightings. When you see it, we'll have plenty to speak about.
All right. Does it deal with the Return of the Giants?
It certainly does.
All right, fine. And for our listeners out there, of course, Barry, not quite certain what these are. I have no question what they are. I think they're demonic manifestations from the other dimension. I believe there is another dimension. I believe that many of the people in our government and in the Israeli government are associated with these truly demonic forces intent upon destroying the state of Israel and destroying the United States of America. Barry, we'll look forward to talking to you tonight on our 8 o'clock program. God bless you, and may the Lord protect both of us. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think he is. See you then.
Okay, bye-bye.